Welcome to the Fairest Love Podcast, Single Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it's by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here, we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie Hinderer, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together. Monica, we are back from the Camino.
Yeah, for those, I guess, my hat is the Camino. I'm wearing a hat today, a little ball cap on it.
There you go.
Camino, represent. We are back.
We are. It was a crazy trip. We thought we'd just talk about it a little bit today, share some insights that we had, etc. But broad picture, we we're gone 16 days, which is crazy. We weren't on the Camino all 16 days, but we left May 30th from Chicago, flew into Barcelona, spent one day in Barcelona, drove to Lourdes, spent one day in Lourdes, which was amazing, drove to León, Spain, spent a day there, and then started the Camino from León and hiked all the way from León on the Camino to Santiago de Compostela. Spent a day there, and then drove back to Madrid, spent a day there, and drove back to Barcelona, spent a day there, and flew home. So, a whirlwind of a trip,
yeah, it was
for
a trip.
Sure.
It was. I'm, like, still processing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely need to sit down and, like, really, really process. I was journaling throughout the way. You know, most nights trying to sit down and, like, write about, because what was interesting was that every day felt like 5 days. You know, there were just these really different kind of segments throughout the day where you were going through something different physically, emotionally,
mentally spiritually,
geographically, like temperature changed so drastically throughout our days that it was kind of like a little disorienting.
Yeah.
Right. And so it is really, I've started saying to people, like, it wasn't a vacation and it wasn't a trip. It was an experience.
Definitely.
Because it was something that you were, like, totally immersed in that needs processing.
Yeah. And it's funny because I feel like now that I'm back, I've realized some things that I really appreciate about the Camino that I didn't realize I appreciated until I was back.
Okay.
So for instance, we got back on a Sunday night. It was Father's Day. I left the following Monday morning for a work trip and was gone Monday through Thursday in New Orleans. And on Thursday evening, I was sitting at the New Orleans airport waiting to catch my flight home, and I was so overwhelmed by the noise and the people. Like, just so overwhelmed. And I don't easily get overwhelmed in those kind of situations. Like, I'm pretty good at kind of, like, finding my little spot in the airport and just, like, being there, but I was like, this is too much. Because on a Camino, you get up and you walk every day on these trails. And, like, yeah, you run into some people, but it's just, like, it's a lot of time in nature. And then, like, occasional interactions with people. And, like, we were a group of six. So, like, yeah, we all hung out.
Yeah.
But it wasn't loud. Right. It wasn't constant music everywhere. It wasn't constant noise. And I didn't realize how much I loved that and how much of our life is just full of noise until I was back and suddenly I was like, oh my gosh.
Constant. That's so interesting. I felt that in Madrid, but I think one, it's like peak tourist season. There was like hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people all over Madrid. And I was like so overwhelmed by that. And then kind of recognizing that I just spent pretty much 10 days in almost isolation. And, like, it's just kind of jarring. But I will say that the benefit of that is being more intentional in our real life with moments of, like, silence, solitude, and stillness. Because the Camino provides that, whether you want it to or not. It's going to happen to you. And there are moments for you to be able to really, like, capitalize on that. And so, you know, the importance of capitalizing on those moments and just being more intentional in our real life about how to create those.
Yeah, because it's interesting, because on the Camino, I don't know if this happened to you, but like it definitely happened to me at times. Like I'd be walking along and like not necessarily thinking about anything in particular, mm-hmm. or not like specifically praying about something in particular. And then this like thought would come to mind and I'd be like, oh
yeah,
I got to think about that. Like I got to dive into that a little bit more. And I don't think you don't have that same opportunity. I think often in the States where we're just surrounded by music, we have our headphones in all the time. And like we were pretty intentional for the most part about trying not to use our headphones that often. A lot of us would use it at the end of the day when we mm-hmm. were just kind of like exhausted and kind of overwhelmed with the mm-hmm. amount of miles we had remaining. But I mean, all six of us really kept our headphones out for a vast majority of the day to allow the experience to work, I think, to allow God to work in our lives in a way. Anyway, but it had me thinking like, oh, I try and cultivate silence in life and I still don't think it's enough.
Well, I think for me, it was like to be present, and music is a form of distraction, which is why it was helpful at the end of the day mm-hmm. when, you know, for me personally, like your feet are bleeding and you're already like, I'm offering up so much and I need a boost to get through that last 6 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I think I've been turning over a lot, this like funny little adage, we stopped like day 2 maybe mm-hmm. or yeah, 3 and this hostel was run by these really lovely women from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them, what would you tell a first timer? Cause they had done it 19 times or something insane. And they smiled and they said, the Camino provides.
Mm-hmm.
And that became this funny little phrase that we just kept saying to each other throughout the next 8 days of like the Camino provides. And yet ironically, like random little happenstances or we found our way into these things. And so I've been thinking a lot about like, what does that even mean?
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, like, it was for me an openness to receiving
mm-hmm.
like what was happening and opportunities that sometimes I think with the clutter and the noise and the busyness and the control and the how I typically operate in life, I miss
mm-hmm.
this providing kind of like the universe, the Camino, God, the like this things
God
show
is
up.
Providing. Yeah. Right. If we're really looking for that. And like, let's share a couple examples from the Camino, but then we can talk about things that we've already seen in this first week being back of how like the Camino provides, like God provides. Right. So, actually that day that we met these women and they were the ones who told us this Camino provides, it was our second day hiking. We had hiked at this point already 43 miles because we did 20 the first day. We did 23 the second day. And the second day was a lot of hills. And when we had worn our packs, most of us were carrying 15 to 20 pounds on us. And we got it to the hill. We got to the hill, literally the town up a hill that we were going to stay at. And we had not pre-booked our hostel. We didn't know what we were doing. We were exhausted, like just exhausted from the day, and we decided we were just going to hike to the top of the hill, which was the top of the town, and then figure out where we were going to stay. And so we hiked all the way to the top of the hill, sat down on a bench, and we're like,
what do we do?
Like, what do we do? It was like the time when none of the restaurants were open because it was like their siesta, like nothing was happening. And there was a random open door and Monica was like, I'm going to go see if that's a hostel and see if we can stay there. And she walked in and it was a free hostel that you just paid what you wanted.
They
spoke
English.
It was run by these British women. So they spoke English, which was not necessary, but it was just a really nice respite after we had been immersed already in Spanish for almost a week at this point. And they were so loving and affectionate and like so good to us. They were like serving tea at the time.
I walked in and they were like, oh dear, like we're just wrapping up tea time. Sit, take your pack. They handed me tea and I was like, we're looking for a place to stay.
We're 6 people, which is hard to fit sometimes.
And they were like, we literally have the best room, like 8 bunks all to your guys' self. Like you don't have to share. It was this barn in the back of this property. It was beautiful. And they also provided free breakfast and coffee the next morning. And it was one of those like, oh my gosh.
Like the Camino provided. Because I don't know what we would have done. And we ended up having like a great accommodation. These lovely people who really helped us out along the way. And I think too, like, that also taught us that phrase that ended up becoming a very clear mantra, I think, in all of our heads for things that were happening along the way. And, you know, and then it would be little things. It would be like, we're all exhausted. And then we'd stumble upon a town that had like one cafe.
Yeah.
And we're like, we all just need our second cappuccino for the day, or we need our first beer for the day to get those carbs in. And like the Camino provides.
Yeah. I found I had gotten injured like on day 4 and so I needed to rest on day 5, and we happened to stay at a hostel that was so open and restful. It was run by this Buddhist man who was just very like, he created zen, a very zen environment, a nurturing environment, and I could stay and rest and journal. And and although I really didn't want to be injured and I wanted to carry on with all of you, the rest day for me was one of the more spiritual days because I got to like journal and reflect on everything, like how intense the first 4 days were, how meditative they were, all of these things that were coming to my mind. But like, and you're kind of thinking about them, but what's so funny is that we all kind of laughed that like out of anyone in the group, the person who probably needed to be like stopped and like sit for a whole day, like, because that's how I process. And, it just happened like, and then crazy enough, like it literally was one rest day and my knee was fine the rest of the trip. And it was like,
which is crazy.
The Camino provides like, I needed to process and have this really spiritual day, and I was given it.
Yeah. And I think, so, you know, since we've had this mantra, I got home and then I went on this business trip out to New Orleans, and I'd never been to New Orleans before. And so, while I was exhausted and, you know, the time change and all of that kind of stuff, I was like gung-ho to like explore New Orleans. And then the first 2 evenings I was there, it rained. And you know what? I was thinking about it afterwards. I was thinking like, If this had been prior to the Camino, I would have been really upset.
Sure.
I would have been like, what a waste of these 2 days. Like, I can't explore New Orleans, like, whatever. And the first day when it rained, and I really wanted to explore, but I was also exhausted, and I just went back to the Airbnb I was at and crashed for the night and fell asleep. And I woke up the next morning and I was like, oh, the Camino provides. Like, God provides. Because, like, I really needed sleep more than I needed to explore New Orleans. And the second day was like that, too. And I was, like, so bummed. And then the third day, it was nice enough to explore, but I only had one little evening. And that ended up being enough for me. And I was like, oh, like, this is interesting. Like, God's providing. And, like, if we see it, though, right? And if we don't see it, you, like, the same with you, like, injuring your knee. If you didn't see that as, like, Camino providing, God providing, you'd be like, darn it, my stupid knee, like, why? I didn't get to do the whole thing like everyone else did, right? But it's a perspective switch.
Right, and I think what happened there that day for me was that I met so many people who had started in St. Jean, so they had already been pushing at that point 400, 500 kilometers, and so well-experienced Caminoers who... The same sentiment I was receiving from everyone that day, which gave me so much reassurance, was the Camino is to be experienced. It's not to be accomplished. And that an experience, like the Camino provides, AKA, like you're going to get what you need to get out of this. If you are open and if you put the work in and if you kind of clear yourself to receive. And so I was like, oh, I'm still doing the Camino in the way I need to do the Camino in order to experience what I need to experience.
Yeah.
And it's okay that it looks different. One of the other phrases that people kept throwing at us was like, nobody tells you how to Camino.
Right. And it's interesting. So to give a little context for people who are not super familiar with the Camino, right? There are many different routes, but the classic route is called the Francis route. It starts in France, in Saint Jean, France, and then it goes... I forget exactly how many, 500 something more than that, kilometers through 700 through northern Spain all the way to Santiago de Compostela. So if you do the whole thing, it takes about 40 days for most people, 30 to 40. And then, but some, you can start anywhere along the way. And in order to like be considered a true pilgrim, you have to at least do the last 100 kilometers. So we did about 300 kilometers, but not, that's not even half of the full journey. But that, to your point, like nobody tells you how to Camino, that was also a really important message for us. And I thought that was just a really, it applies to so many other areas in life as well. We were told that by this couple who, he was retired and they started in St. John and just were like taking their dear sweet time doing it. Every now and then they take 2 days of rest and they just hang out, or they'd only walk 5 miles and then be done for the day.
Because I think what ends up happening is we can get really stuck in a, it has to look a certain way. I have to do this in order to accomplish that. And I have to do it the biggest and the baddest and the toughest and the hardest. And it's like, but you're so focused on how you think something should go, you miss an opportunity for how something should be. Mm-hmm. And the things that come into your life to kind of redirect. And I think one of those things, one of the things I took away in that, like, nobody tells you how to Camino type of vibe is that, you know, things are going to pop up in your life and direct you and move you, but we have to be like
nimble,
docile, like docile and open and flexible to move with who comes into your life. And where God takes you, or the fact that like it's a rainy day and that's not what I wanted. Well, right. Maybe it's what you needed, or maybe you can make the best of that. Mm-hmm. And so if we're closed off, mm-hmm. and if we think life has to go a particular way, my trip to New Orleans has to go this way, mm-hmm. you're going to miss opportunities for growth, for rest, for connection. Like, my rest day was so connective to all of these strangers, and I got to hear their stories. I got to talk to them. I got their advice. Like, I met this really wonderful old, like 65-some-year-old Argentinian man who was just so fatherly to me. And like, we had beautiful conversations and interactions. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, like this is, I would have missed it if I had been like really set in my stubbornness and in my way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think for me, that kind of phrase, we actually heard the phrase, nobody tells you how to Camino, on the first day. And the first day, like the fifth mile, right, of the day, like really early on, the guy came to talk to us. He was American, and he was like, why do you guys look so fresh and so clean? And we're like, it's day one. Yeah. We were like so excited. little did we know. And he was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But he was telling us, like, nobody tells you how to Camino. And to me, it was also this idea of, like, giving yourself permission to step away from the vision maybe you had, mm-hmm. to allow, like, God to work, or to allow something else to come. So, like, for me, I had this vision of, like, we were going to do the Camino. We were going to do it the whole time with the packs on our back, right? And I was prepped and I was ready. And after day two, everybody was dying. And so I was like, I think we should send our packs ahead, which a lot of people do. A lot of people send their packs ahead. That's, like, part of one of the services on the Camino. I was like, I think tomorrow we should take a break and send our packs ahead so we walk without anything. Like, we carry our water bottles and our wallets, and, like, that's it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I would have been as willing and happy to do that if we had not heard that and I hadn't been like mulling that over in my head. Because I think I would have thought of it as cheating or not really doing the Camino. Mm-hmm. And after he told us that and I was thinking about it a little bit, I was like, no, like, this is going to allow me to do all the days. Mm-hmm. This is going to allow us to get to the end. And it's going to free me up to think about other things than how much my feet hurt or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the phrase, like, the Camino is to be experienced, mm-hmm. was that for me, in that it gave me the freedom to let the day and the moment be what it needed to be. So there were some days where I prayed 12 rosaries because I was so immersed in the contemplation of the mysteries. And there were days where I said zero, mm-hmm. because I couldn't. I wasn't meditating on them. I couldn't force myself through. I tried. I'd get distracted. And I was like, well, but that day provided a different experience. And it was a lot of maybe conversations with people on the mm-hmm. on the way. And those conversations had a lot of like beauty or depth to them. And so I think it would have been like, it would have been kind of stuck in this mindset of like, Arthur Brooks said he only prayed rosaries all day, and Dad's gonna ask how many rosaries we prayed,
and which he did. Literally, we got home and he's like, "How many rosaries did you say a day?"
Yeah, and so, but it was like, but this is something to be experienced, and that means the nature, which I connect with God a lot in nature, and so like to be there in that space with Him and to not be, you know, rigid with what something should or shouldn't look like. And I will say, like, I'm thinking about it now as we're kind of processing in real time. Like, on day one, I was alone. It was pretty hilly. No. Day two. Day two, I was alone at one point. It was really pretty hilly. So I was like, I felt very connected with God and in nature. And so I'm in dialogue with him at this point and had kind of asked him about something. And it was one of the first times. I very rarely feel like I receive a clear message, right? Some people are like, God told me. And I'm like, you spoke to him. Can I have his number?
What? Yeah.
Like, what? You heard him?
Could you talk to him for me?
You heard him? Not easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, wow. Okay. And it had given me like a lot of like peace and other things to think about. And I was like, well, this is so interesting. And it was something I was carrying with me. And then I got injured and I had to rest. And weirdly enough, this Zen Buddhist, odd, really interesting, lovely man had some insights into certain things that sort of triggered a little bit about what I had praying about before. And I was like, that's interesting. And so I was, you know, had this whole day to actually like journal and pray and reflect on this aspect and this thing in my life. And then the very last day we come to Santiago, we go to the late pilgrim mass, which I did not want to go to. I wanted to get it done and over with at noon. I was tired. Again, it didn't happen. So the Camino provides. And so we get there early enough. It's like, it's late, I'm tired, so everything's like slower, we're not rushing anywhere, it's the last thing we have to do for the day. And I decided to pop into confession because I was like, we're traveling, I always like to go before I travel. And so I picked a random line with some priest who, his sheet said he spoke English. So I was like, cool, good, check. Happened to pick the line of a chatty Cathy.
Nice.
He liked to talk. And everything he said was in summary of my first experience, the middle of the Camino, when I had to like really pray and journal about something. And then it's almost like he just put a bow on all of it. And literally my eyes filled with tears.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did he know?
Do you think,
how did he know?
Like, do you think if you had heard that same, like, let's say you were just randomly back in the States, you picked a random parish, you went to confession and you heard that same thing, do you think it would be as impactful for you if you hadn't gone through the 10 previous days of like silence, stillness, having to not hike one day, like all of that?
Okay. No, because I think I would have, because he was quoting some parts in scripture and like explaining them to me, and I think in my more like kind of American, a little more rigid, I would have been like, yeah, I know what John writes, like, or kind of like, yeah, and like I understand what you're saying, but I think it struck an emotional chord because I had been on this journey and praying and processing all these things. But also you're like, there was something moving about like, I didn't expect this because I'm not a super like, emotion-centered person, not emotionally, I'm not spiritually emotional either. So I didn't expect to have this pilgrim experience where I, oh my gosh, have journeyed to a destination. I wasn't expecting that. So then to come to this place and been like, I've been carrying this with me and the prayers of all of these people with me, and for it to kind of like culminate in that confessional and then at mass was very moving. And I was like, oh, weird. What are these feelings?
What is God saying?
Yeah.
Interesting. It's funny. I expected to have that like emotional experience and did not on the Camino.
Interesting.
But I still think I got a lot out of it. But I thought it was going to be a more like, I don't know, emotional thing. But for me, it wasn't. But I do think, like, I learned a lot out of it. Like, I got a lot out of it. Like, even, like, one of the takeaways that I had, which is funny, is, so we all prayed a lot of rosaries on the Camino. I mean, certainly more than normal. Over 10 days.
Yeah, I don't pray 12 in a day.
Exactly.
That's extreme.
And it's interesting. We like, as a group, we kind of learned that sometimes when you're really tired, like, just saying the rosary helps you kind of keep a cadence.
Sure.
And one rosary is about a mile in length, and so you could kind of hit that. And so one of my takeaways actually was, previously, I have been very reticent to pray the rosary while walking or running or doing any kind of, like, what I would consider, like, a workout, like, physical exercise. Sure. Because to me, it's like, no, like, physical exercise should be physical. And then, like, time for prayer should be time for prayer. Mm-hmm. But on the Camino, I said a lot of rosaries, like a lot of rosaries. And while I wasn't always, I would fully admit, deeply contemplating the mysteries, obviously. Sometimes it was just like a little bit of a repetitive Hail Mary, Hail Mary. Like, actually, it's funny. Early on, I only had a decade rosary, and I kept losing what mystery I was on. That's the worst. And then I got a full-sized rosary, which I, like, I had some, but I just, anyway, I didn't bring any. But it made me really think, like, and, like, I knew this before, but, like, the rosary is beautiful even if I'm not, like, fully in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, like, I could probably say more rosaries. Well, or, like, I could do that while I walk instead of listening to music every time.
There's this, like, what just came to mind was this, like, phrase of, like, come as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like, even in relationship, if I was like, hey, can we talk? And you were, like, half here,
mm-hmm.
but you still showed up, even though you were tired. That's still meaningful.
Yeah.
Right? That you showed up and you're like, yeah, okay, we can talk, but yeah. I'm going to try to be here, but like, I'm not really here right now. And so, you know, I think that, I don't know. I mean, maybe for me, I probably did need a little bit more of an emotional stirring since I don't have that often. And I think for you, it sounds like a lot of these things were kind of like letting go of the expectation of how something should be in this perfect ideal image. Like, let go of your pack and let go of praying the rosary perfectly, and like, you can move and pray. And,
mm-hmm. And it's funny, like, the one like big intention, personal intention I went with a ton of intentions from other people, but the one like big personal intention was like asking our Lord to free my heart of something. And so I think like that's probably part of it, right? Is like this whole like letting go and like learning how to do
something
that.
Specific or just
something really specific in my life that I know like
you're holding on to.
Like I know, yeah, and I'm like, I know the Lord has to transform it in my heart. Like I'm not going to be able to. I mean, I can work at it, but like this is one of those things that like he's going to have to work a miracle in me in a certain sense, right? Like, and so I was like, that was my only intention, my only personal intention. All the other intentions were like the intentions that I brought from others or like for my employees and stuff like that. So yeah, like it is very symbolic that a lot of the things that I learned were these like letting go
and trending to that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I'm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is really interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. The Camino, I mean, it was a cool experience. Would you do it again?
No.
No?
No, I would. I would.
Oh, I was like, wait, what? Really?
Well, I would do it differently.
I would do it differently, too.
I would do it differently.
Hands down.
I think that we are, like, lunatics who thought, like, we could get to Lourdes and all these other things. Like, if I do the Camino, I'm, like, strictly doing the Camino, and I'm not trying to tack on all these beginning and end things. Because, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, I was like, when are we ever this close to Lourdes? And I'm like, 16 hours.
I know. I'm so glad. Originally, people wanted to go to Lourdes and Fatima and do the Camino. And I was like, I didn't want to go to either. So I pushed back to at least not go to Fatima because I was like, we don't have time for this. Like, we're going to be psychopaths. And we were crazy. We slept in 16 different beds over 16 days.
Yeah. So here's what I will say, though, because I am like a real stickler for language. This is probably because I'm a therapist. And I'm a real stickler for overgeneralizing anything.
Sure, sure.
So the Camino is a spiritual experience. No, the Camino is what you make it.
Sure.
The Camino is what you make it. And so, but I sometimes think people think that it's like this eat, pray, love moment. If I go, then I will. And it's like, but you have to participate. You got to go and participate in the process some degree.
So, I do wonder, though, like, we went already with, like, a spiritual background, right? Like, with an understanding of our faith, with, you know, practicing Catholic type of deal. But, like, I was sitting outside a church on our last night before we entered Santiago. And there was a man, a Spaniard, who was on the phone, but he was talking in English. Or maybe I understood Spanish that well. No, he was talking in English.
Incredible.
And he was like, I know, I was like, what? And he was like, dude, like, he's like, this is crazy. He's like, I'm on this Camino. And he was like, and you know me, man, I ain't religious. Like, I ain't spiritual. Like, I ain't into these things. And he's like, but dude, like, I'm going to mass every day. And he's like, and I'm changing. I can tell. And I was like, okay, adorable. Like, clearly God was working in him. So I do wonder if...
No, I agree.
Just for many people who do not practice silence, stillness, or solitude at all in their life, the Camino kind of forces that. And so I do wonder if anybody who does it in that way has to experience something. Yeah, an inkling of God, yeah, etc. Now, agree. If you do it and you've just got your headphones in the whole time and you're just like partying it up, then yeah, like I agree.
I agree with you.
No, thanks.
On my rest day, I met a girl from Australia who sounds like she had kind of hit rock bottom and had been doing this kind of whole thing. And I asked her essentially like, what brings you on the Camino? And she had said that she had been an atheist. She thinks that she had been an atheist like her whole life, and that now she's just really kind of questioning everything. And she, one of her friends recommended that she do this, and she just thought, if there's anywhere to find something, maybe I'll find it here.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like this, but with that comes an openness, an intention receiving kind of what happens along the way. So would I do the Camino again? Yes, I'd start in St. Jean. I'd want to go through the Pyrenees. I heard that that's beautiful. And I think that, you know, it's, I loved meeting the people. It was probably one of my favorite parts were kind of all the people that you got to meet. And I'm a big, like, I like culture and I like people. So I like that we got experiences of Spanish culture that a typical tourist would have never experienced, coming through these small villages and seeing these small towns and talking to people who have been there forever, or like transient. Like I found that to be so beautiful.
Yeah. I would absolutely do it again. I mean, pie in the sky, who knows, right? But like, I would want to do the whole thing, start in St. John, do the whole thing. But not do 20 to 25 miles a day. No. Like I would much rather do like have kind of most people who did the whole thing had very open-ended end dates. They were like, well, we got to catch a flight back in 3 weeks. Who knows how long it'll take us. I would want to have it a little bit more like that, where it was a little open-ended, or I had a few more flex days so that I could take rest when I wanted, and I could do more, you know, 15 mile days, some 12 mile days, to give myself like more time to process and think, like in the afternoons and evenings. Because by the time we got there after 24 miles of hiking, it was like 5 p.m. and we were exhausted, and we found dinner, found a pilgrim mass if applicable, and then went to bed.
Yeah. Definitely more time to experience and to process would have been really good.
Yeah. I was also really moved by, you know, all these, you walk through all these tiny towns and, you know, they've got their like one church or their two churches, and several of the places, like if it was a big enough town, they had an evening kind of pilgrim mass is what they often called it, at like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And I was really moved by how clear it was that like the townies loved the pilgrims.
Yeah.
Like I did not expect that. I expected it to be a little bit more like, oh God, here's more of these pilgrims, these like smelly pilgrims, you know? But like, it was so clear how much the townies really liked the pilgrims. And so after many of the masses, the priest would give like a blessing for pilgrims, but everybody would like stick around in all the towns. They'd like stick around and they'd want to hear where you were from. And like, they'd tell you a little thing, often in Spanish, so I didn't always understand, but...
Yeah, and they would always... I mean, they knew. It was just always kind of who we were. It's funny, we weren't treated like tourists, which was interesting, because, like, we certainly are, I mean, technically, but we weren't treated as tourists, and everyone would be like, buen camino, as you're, like, walking along, and it was just... I mean, truthfully, it was adorable, and so, yeah, it really was something... I'm surprised at how much I actually enjoyed it and took away from it. And it was certainly not my intention when we booked this trip. I just sort of was like, let's go. Like, you know, like adventure. And then I was like, oh gosh, it's going to be a meaningful adventure. Oh gosh. Like, that's fine.
It's true. I was thinking like, it's, I mean, we knew this before, but, and we joked about this a lot on the trail, but like how applicable all of these things are to real life. Like once you're on it, you're like, the Camino provides, like the Lord's providing, right? Like nobody can tell you how to Camino. Like, listen, your path to heaven is your path. And like, it's going to be different from the others. And like, that's okay. Not only is that okay, like that's the point, right? Yeah. Like there are so many things like that I think, or, one of the girls in the group was joking. She's like, oh, all these like funny phrases that I've heard forever, and now I understand better. I can't think of any right now off the top of my head, but like there were so many that
dust
we would do
the
that.
Sand off your
Yeah. Like shake the if the town doesn't accept you, shake the dust from your feet and keep going. Because literally, like you had the chance of getting to a town, and there were no hostels, and you had to keep moving.
Yeah.
Or you know, like all these things like that.
Yeah.
That were incredible. Really. It was really spectacular overall. I would highly recommend.
Definitely one of those things. Going to continue to be thinking about as my feet heal. And
I gotta say, if anybody is listening and is planning to do it, wide toe box shoes.
Yeah, wide.
They were the game changer. I bought Ultras. I only got one blister, the blister that I always get no matter what I wear. Poor Monica wore shoes that she has worn for years.
Well, I trained for a marathon in them. Like, I was like, my feet know these shoes. This is great.
And she got blisters everywhere.
So, like, bad, bad blisters.
Even with Vaseline and everything.
Yeah. I ended up halfway through switching to my hiking sandals, and it was a godsend.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
And I think one of the cool things, too, about our trip was that we did it, like, you, me, and then our youngest brother, which, obviously, three of the nine of us in the family. But, like, I think that was just, it was a cool experience to do with siblings. Yeah. And then we did it with three other siblings, actually, who are good friends. So our group of six was just, it gelled really well. Like, it could not have been better.
Yeah, and I will say, like, no one really, like, complained. Like, we all knew each other were in pain, but it wasn't like, I can't do this. It was like, look at this blister, you guys. Like, everyone's like, that's disgusting. Do your feet hurt? It's like, yeah, I'm going to cry. I'll just go take myself to the corner. Like, it was, like, pretty good. Like, the 10 days on the trail were not, like, they were really difficult, but, like, everyone was just like, okay, here we are. Like,
yeah, we should have had Nick come on, but so Nick's our youngest brother, and he did it with us, and I was talking to him afterwards, and he was like, legit, this was the hardest physical and emotional thing I've ever done in my whole life.
Oh, he said
that. And I said, seriously? And he was like, yeah, wasn't it for you? And I was like, no, but I'm so impressed that
no,
it was
but
for
you're
you.
23.
Like, he's 23, you know, he doesn't have too much experience, and he's not super sporty, so it's not like he's like trained for a marathon or, I mean, I think this was harder than training than a marathon, but.
Because we did a marathon every day.
Yeah. But anyway, but I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, it definitely, like, it's challenging. Even if you aren't psychos like us and doing 20 to 25 miles a day.
Although I'm like, oh my God, I did it.
I know.
Everyone was like, what's the likelihood you just quit? And I was like, zero.
Yeah.
My feet will bleed before
not
I quit.
Happening.
Although maybe that's not something to brag about. But, like, I am proud of us. Like, I think it is this, like, really cool accomplishment. And it was, I don't know, it was pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, pretty incredible.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, I don't have any takeaways necessarily, but I think, you know, if anyone's thinking about it, feel free to reach out. We're happy to answer questions or anything like that. Have to say, it definitely was worth the while.
That's it for this week on Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are in your journey, remember that God is with you. And this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving the podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Join us on social media. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly.
Buen camino.
Buen camino.